Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. A new day, a new era, as Ethereum ETFs get approved for trading, start their trading, opening up to millions of dollars of volume in the very first day, en route to about a billion. And people are wondering, well, where's the run-up like we saw with Bitcoin? And the truth is, if you listen to Leister, CryptoTalk.fm, you heard me say I didn't think it was going to go as hot as Bitcoin, simply because there's still some open questions on the Ethereum side, and Bitcoin is the bear in the room. It's going to have its run-up simply because of what it is. There was never going to be any difference on that stuff. So I watch it, not intensely like some people. I don't stare at graphs and all that. I watch it every now and then. I look at it and like, all right. And I did not, in disclosure, get into the Ethereum ETF like I did with the Bitcoin ETF for this reason. I suspected it was going to run a slight bit hot, tone back down, have a somewhat of a run, tone back down, and then go on a major run. So I'm waiting now for things to kind of go down. I was looking at the prices, and I was not impressed because the Fidelity one, I had struggled to get down to $35 per, and I was waiting for that price to buy in, and then it finally did, and then it went on a run. So I'm happy with the Fidelity Bitcoin ETF that I did buy into, and I figured the Bitcoin ETFs are going to have more of a run now. Part of the Mt. Gox business is, you know, I'm watching this dump out and stuff going to crack in and all that stuff. And I figured there's going to be something there. I wasn't sure what that's going to be, but it did seem to harm sentiment across the board. And so I'm still waiting in the wings. I'm waiting for Ethereum to go on a run because it's due one. It's due a run, not what we had. That's not a run. It hasn't hit the all-time high of $4,800. So I'm waiting for that to happen. Why it hasn't happened yet, I have no idea. I'm waiting for that. I didn't think we would see some of the depression that we see very recently. Like garbage like PayPay crapped out. $30 million was dumped out of it. And I had some people that actually went viral. I posted on the CoinMarketCap community about the fact that, you know, $30 million dumped out because people didn't know what happened. And if you looked at the market cap, it was obvious. $30 million just disappeared out of it on this major drop. And so then I had people respond and somebody said, well, maybe they took profits. Here's the thing. I'm sure they did. Remember, and you may not know this because you don't follow social media. Kudos to you if you're not. But what happened is DaVinci, who's the guy who got lucky with Bitcoin, and he was just buy a dollar Bitcoin, just buy a dollar. That was him, right? And he got lucky, right? He gambled. He rolled the dice. He got lucky. He got paid. He was made rich off that decision. He's now shilling all these garbage tokens. No problem. Well, he was one of the ones that spoke up about this PayPay and said, oh, it's going to go to whatever, whatever. And that caused people to FOMO into it. Well, I speculated it's possible when somebody said somebody might have taken profits. I speculated, well, it could have been DaVinci. Maybe he bought a bunch in there, shilled you guys to buy into it, FOMO into it, and then used it as exit liquidity. I'm not accusing the guy. I'm saying it could happen because there was a lot of money dumped out randomly because it was expected to go on more of an upward run. There's others that speculated it's just normal accumulation. It was a normal drop. I figured that $30 million of a drop, which was a fifth of what it was at the time, was substantial enough that it's abnormal. And I would not consider that regular profit taking. Certainly, it could have been an early buyer, but I didn't see anybody who had that much supply held. It seemed like it was multiple people at once. So whatever happened, I don't know. But I was watching that and watching a couple of these other ones during this whole Ethereum ETF and didn't know what was going on. So that was out there. On the personal, I'm working house business. You know, I'm trying to finish the freaking office. And then there's other things that keep popping up, like the plumbing I got to deal with, landscaping. I'm fixing, patching lawn stuff because that's getting on my nerves. And then I got the electrical stuff I got to sort. For context, I can't run the freaking air fryer and the microwave at the same time, which is, you talk about stone ages, right? I'm not happy. So I'm working on that separate. And then I got an outreach from somebody, and I don't know if it was a serious outreach or not. I did speak to the person. It seemed like a serious deal. They sent me some paperwork. I reviewed the paperwork. I didn't have any concerns with the paperwork, but when I dug a little bit deeper into what's involved, I'm not sure I'm going to commit to it at this point because there are some constraints on the content. You still own the content, but there's constraints on what the content can do and what it can be that I'm not sure I'd be okay with. I do the best I can with my show to keep it on the up and up. But there are times when I have a topic where it requires a certain level of demeanor in order to get the message across. And that freedom needs to remain. As my own show, I have that control. I can do whatever I want and say what I want regardless. But I still keep my own boundaries because I want to be a professional presentation. And in this that we were talking about, it seems like I would have to agree to certain other terms from the other side that I may not be okay with, and then I'm paying for nothing. So I got to talk to the person again. If it happens to go forward, it would be a very exciting thing for the show, plural shows, but I'm not sure if that's a true thing or it's just, no, that's for certain types of whatever, and yours would not sit in this. I don't know. So I'm talking that out separate. So there's a lot going on. I'm checking in on different platforms, you know, every now and then, making sure that I put a face to things, but there's so much happening at once. The time is starting to be overly consumed. And then my client had a bit of an emergency that I didn't need my assistance with. So I'm still recording the show as I've done. And I try to maintain that level of content and consistency that you expect. And hopefully you're appreciating that, spreading the word. People that may be interested in this type of a show, we are arguably the most consistent on the crypto channels at this point on the podcast side. The YouTube gets a copy of the podcast episode. So if you prefer YouTube, it's there too. Same episode, same content. It just replicates over there. And then sometimes people will comment, like I just did one on Bone and I had some comments back on that one. I did a neener, 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 deep, deep, deep on Cult DAO and its failure getting kicked off exchanges. So I'm having fun with those out of cycle updates as well. So there's a lot still going, content still delivering, everything's still moving in the right direction. Cryptocurrency is just not keeping up with me. That's really what's happening. Speaking of, let's go ahead and dig into what we see here. And I don't think this will be a very long episode today. Coindesk.com. And why don't we go ahead and start with the Ethereum chart? We're going to zoom out to the month chart for Ethereum. The reason we're starting with Ethereum, there's a couple of news bits, one of which connects to a recent out-of-cycle update that I did, but the release of the Ethereum ETFs and the reflection in the price movement was not what people expected. A low of just shy of 3,400, a high of 3,500, hovering about the 34.6 mark. Very little movement, very little volatility change from what we had before. It actually is up from last week. So we actually did get significant climb from last week. It just didn't feel like it because it was a somewhat gradual climb up. And then we had a sharp climb the moment Ethereum ETS started going. Turns out I had done an out of cycle update about the idiot Vitalik and him turning heel on Blee's crypto, saying you should not vote for somebody just because they're pro crypto. And I read that guy the riot act because we knew he dumps off you all the time on his Ethereum. Turns out he did it again. The Ethereum Foundation dumped tons of Ethereum back on the open market, and they keep doing this. They keep dumping on you. So all these people that praise all these mean garbage tokens, and this does that, and this token does this, and this token is great. The only token of the whole pack that has been reasonably consistent in its delivery of anything at all is BNB. Let's be honest. BNB has the regular burns to manage the inflation. BNB doesn't do major dump outs that I can see. BNB has significant price runs at periods. BNB is more ubiquitous. BNB is cheaper gas. BNB arguably is more stable in terms of the spread across the different tokens that it's paired with than Ethereum. Ethereum has more market share. Ethereum has more eyes on it. Ethereum has more exposure. Ethereum has more confidence. Ethereum has more trust. I'm not downplaying any of what I just said. I'm saying that BNB, from a performance of the token perspective, has been a standout all this time. Avalanche to a lesser degree. Cardano has been stable for the wrong reasons. You know, Chainlink and some of these other ones have been somewhat. Polkadot, yeah, somewhat. Nothing has really, in my mind, come close to BNB in what I would expect the token to do, especially not Bone, which I also did an out of cycle on, because Bone should be way higher than it is, and everybody knows it. Bone should be in the three figures by this point. There's no reason for it not to, other than the failures of the team, which I broke down in my Bone segment. So I've done a couple of these out of cycles. Feel free to go back in our archives at cryptotalk.fm to hear those, because I don't stare at crypto all day long, but these things are brought to attention. I look at it, I get a high level sense of what's going on, and then I kind of file it away. And I do have certain invested things that I'm, you know, make a little bit of profit off of. You know, I made a little bit of profit off Trump 2024 when it ran up the first time. got out of that business. It made all the money back that I lost. And then I invested some of the excess in another project I was trying to help out. The developer abandoned the project, so it wasn't going anywhere. I was causing price positive to try to trigger a run to try to help it because it should have succeeded. It's just the dev was not supporting it. The dev doesn't, it doesn't work. And then I had a little bit of Bitcoin I had sold because I figure right now Bitcoin is kind of holding in this stable number on Coindesk.com. As an example, on its month chart, Bitcoin had the same dip and then had the same climb back up to grace from a low. This was last week, a low of 56,000, climbed all the way back up to just shy of 68,000-ish. And now it's kind of tapering down over the last 24 hours, a low of 65-ish, a high of 60, just shy of 68, hovering about the $66,000 mark. So Bitcoin had a better run of it, but it also has been hovering within this, say, 60,000 and 70,000 range for a long time. People expect that Bitcoin's going to run over that 70,000 mark. It just has not happened as of yet, but it's kind of a powder keg. We expect that it's going to happen sooner or later. We're just waiting patiently for that trigger to get pulled. As I said, the idiot Vitalik just dumped out off the prior to, mind you, prior to the Ethereum ETF launch, he dumped a major amount of Ethereum onto the open market because that's what he does. That's what he's been doing. If you didn't know that, he's been doing it on a regular basis. Every time there's something of significance, like the transition from proof of work to proof of stake or something else, he dumps a major amount of the Ethereum back on the open market and kills the price, kills the business, which is a contributing factor absolutely to the fact that it has not gotten back to its all-time high. So for those that support the idiot Vitalik, continue to support the guy while he continues to dump off of you. That's your business. Speaking of dumps, KYC vendor Fractal ID loses over 50,000 users' passport information. I hadn't heard of this particular program, this Fractal ID situation, and I want to break down this whole digital identity verification. There are services like ID.me and other types of tools that are trying to create this idea of digital identity verification, the idea that you can digitize and create some sort of a digital identity that can be reused and validated and then secure access provided for those that need to validate your information. This Fractal ID apparently was aligned with various of these projects, including Ripple and Avalanche and Gnosis. So this is not a small time deal. This is actually a big deal, but not a lot of users were affected, fortunately. So the scope of impact was rather large, only about 50,000 users, which is a small fraction of the total percentage of the population. I can't say if you were compromised or not. I'm making the assumption that they would have reached out to you in the event that you would have been breached. And of course, you might be ducking email or avoiding email. And I recommend you check your email and see if they might have reached out to you. This Fractal ID, apparently, at some point, you would have interacted with some sort of a tool that asks you to do KYC functions, probably as part of some sort of a trade. Like say, if you're purchasing cryptocurrency on one of these DCEN tools, you know, like banks or some of these others where you go and you want to purchase it with your plastic. And so they put you through a KYC process. My suspicion is it's aligned with that, that you would not be directly interacting with anything that says Fractal ID. You're just interacting with a form where it's collecting basic information about you and then making a decision off that and then approving whatever the transaction is. Some of the information included are names, email addresses, wallet addresses, phone numbers, physical addresses, and images of uploaded documents, namely a passport or a driver's license. The physical address part should really concern you because when this information gets breached, that's a privacy issue. It's a safety issue. It's a security issue. So I don't want to freak you out because, again, I don't know if you are part of this affected population. And I don't know that anything could have been done to avoid it because all of these different tools are rushing towards this KYC everything, even if it's a small amount of money. On a very old episode, I want to say late 2022-ish, I did an update where I said, I think it's stupid that we're doing KYC for everything. I think the KYC threshold should be for large dollar amounts, just like we have for Patriot Act transactions for banks, where they only really care if you're over $10,000. That's when they start caring. You're talking major, major money flow. But if you're just trying to buy $50 of cryptocurrency, I don't agree that KYC should be required because it's stupid, because what is that going to solve? Your $50 is not going to go to some terrorist and help them hardly do anything. They should go after the big players. So when you get a level of wealth, then I can kind of justify it. But them doing it across the board, all that does is increase the vector, increases the attack vector, and allows more to potentially get breached. And that's what I suspect happened here. Fractal ID stated that it was contained inside. It didn't affect the third-party sources, but you might get some, you know, communications, like I said, emails or something. And because they have your phone number, you might get some sketchy text messages. So my public service announcement to you, for those that support text messages, Leicester doesn't, but for those that support text messages, you might get some sketchy text messages, things that, for example, ask you to validate something or verify something. Click a link to verify your identity. You know, these sketchy types of links that might come to your device, please be careful. And if it's phone, it's even worse because you can't validate it without really knowing. And by clicking the link, you might put yourself at risk. Please don't connect your wallet to anything sketchy. I would recommend spinning up a new wallet, if I'm honest, and then transferring any crypto that you have over to a different wallet. Cannot hurt to consider a rotating wallet, although that's painful. You might consider doing something like that just to kind of keep it fresh. Problem is, if you have small amounts of cryptocurrency, it may cost you more in gas to do that than it would be just to kind of deal with it and hope for the best. And if you have a small amount, obviously your risk vector is very small in kind. So that's there. Kamala Harris, because if you didn't know, Joe Biden finally dropped out of the race. He's no longer going to be the president after getting schooled by Donald Trump on a couple of occasions, then sitting by while his chosen candidate allowed Donald Trump to almost get assassinated on his watch. And then the Secret Service person who, the director, she finally just resigned after saying she wasn't going to do it and refused to answer questions in front of Congress. She finally stepped down. But this is after Joe Biden backed out of the race. Joe Biden backs out. Kamala Harris is essentially the nominee now to be the going against Donald Trump. And I said, I don't think she stands a chance against Donald Trump because she couldn't even beat Joe Biden back in 2020. Let's be honest here. So I don't, you know, or 20, I think it was 2016 actually that Kamala was there and going against Joe Biden and she couldn't beat Joe Biden back then. And she had a stronger argument and she just backed out. I don't want to use the term that the kids say, but it starts with a B. So anyway, there's a meme token, as always happens when something is a trend. I call them trending tokens, but a meme token spins up for Kamala Harris and it starts running up on the announcement that Kamala Harris was going to be the nominee for the Democrat Party, hitting an all-time high of 2.4 cents immediately after Joe Biden had announced this. So this is one of those pump and dump tokens, by the way. It's called KAMA, K-A-M-A, if you want to get in it for whatever reason that you do. The Biden one was called Boden, B-O-D-E-N, and it crapped immediately after the announcement. So as I said on an older episode, I think it was 2 months ago, we are now in an era of trending tokens. They're tokens that get spun up because something's trending on social media. That's what's happening here. So you're going to see a lot of these tokens spin up that are solely there because something is trending. That doesn't mean that there's not an opportunity for profit. There's always an opportunity for profit, but you got to be very careful and make sure you're not putting every last dollar you have, unless you want to roll the dice and you're a gambler that way. I wouldn't recommend doing it. That's up to you, but I would not recommend that you do so because you should be careful. I don't want to see you get your tokens took, in my opinion. Speaking of tokens getting took, Dydx, D-Y-D-X, claims that its V3 platform, just as it got put up for sale, got compromised. I had not followed Dydx at all. I was not of any interest to me. I know it had a lot of chatter with different circles. I didn't have any. I just said whatever. Apparently, just today, it got compromised. They told people not to go to the site. So I would give the site address, but I don't want people to go to the site address. But it's the Dydx exchange, DYDX exchange. They're saying do not go for the Dydx exchange for this. And apparently, this was because an older version of it had gotten compromised. And this had a lot of traffic. It had like billions of dollars of traffic on the derivatives side for it. So it was reasonably popular for derivatives trading. Allegedly, they had a newer version of the exchange and that was not compromised, but there were still some people that were going to the older version of the exchange. The analogy I can drive is Uniswap, right? Uniswap has a V2 that's still out there and the V3. In order to access the liquidity, certain tokens are still on Uniswap V2 liquidity and thus you have to trade it on Uniswap V2. You can't use the V3. So these versions of the different exchanges, they're different applications essentially. And so they're subject to a breach. That's what seems to happen with Dydx. Quote, the attacker has taken over the V3 domain and deployed a copycat website that when users connect their wallets to it, it asks them to approve via permit to transaction, which is a standard wallet connect transaction, to steal their most valuable token. So basically the bad actor, they're smart enough to interrogate the wallet, identify whatever's the most valuable asset. They don't drain it. They just look at the most, you know, the most valuable thing there and take that and get it took. So I'm sharing it because you might be a Didex trader and I want you to be careful. They hopefully have sent some information to you directly. If not, you may have to go to X. They did some posts on X about what happened to share for people. And I'm simply using my platform to help spread the word on this business. Separately, I'm going to talk in closing. As I said, this is going to be a reasonably short episode today, but I want to talk in closing about what's happening with a lot of these other vol coins that have been out there for a while, starting with the crap known as CultDAO. I gave an out of cycle update episode about CultDAO getting kicked off exchanges. It got kicked off exchanges because of liquidity issues. I did an update on CoinMarketCap's community where I didn't rub it in their face, but I was telling people, I tried to warn you people on a regular basis that this wasn't going to go anywhere because you're not going to, you have this viral marketing thing. It wasn't going to appeal outside the bubble. Your manifesto and all this garbage is not going to appeal to people and you're going to kill the business. And I recommend that you course correct because I thought they had a right idea. Their implementation sucked. Their marketing sucked, I felt. Here we are. And it's doing worse than Cytochain coin, which I didn't think was possible because Cytochain, you know, Saitama, right? So there's that. There's this BlockDAG business, right? So BlockDAG, it's getting a lot of hype on social media. That's why I haven't covered it. It partners up with Alex Pereira from the UFC as their sponsor, which should lend credibility to it, right? Because his name is on the line. If it's legit that he's aligned with it, it seems like it is legit, his name's on the line. If the thing turns into a rug pull, it's going to come down on him. Maybe he doesn't care, but I have to think that he does. So BlockDAG is another one where, okay, what's going on with this? They're pitching these miners and they're saying, people are doing analysis saying it's impossible what your miner claims to be able to do. That it can mine Bitcoin and Casper and all this magic stuff, and that it's probably another scam, like people are still calling Reddit a scam because it crapped out and people did analysis and they connected the dots between Rank Finance and Reddit Finance. And now that's all in the crapper. Then there's these other Vol coins spinning up Saitama on Solana and Shinjan Solana and all these other ones from disgruntled investors. And I'm going to maintain my message and it's not to trash people. I'm firm in what I believe and I'm not going to back down. When you keep the same bad name, it doesn't matter if you're not associated with a bad project. The bad name is a bad word in their mind. And so they instinctively go away from it. And I think it hurts. Just create another. Now's the right time because these Vol coins are getting some success. Create a different name and just say, we were from this community. We spun this up over here to show how to do it right and create your own brand and create your own something. Like you could even, like with the Saitama on Solana, I would have just simply said, One Punch Man on Solana. Okay, fine. Now, it's not the name Saitama. We know what it is from the anime, but One Punch Man is a different something. Or call it anything else. I felt like you could have called it Wolfpack. Like literally, you could have called it anything else, and I think it would have been more successful. I'm not wishing them ill. I want them to think away from these bad words. Shinj is a bad word. Saitama is a bad word. Kishu's technically a bad word. Floki's technically a bad word. Do they have lots of traffic? Yes. That doesn't mean they're not a bad word. So will the success go beyond a 2X or 3X or 4X or 5X? Maybe that's all we care about. If all we care about is making pump and dump tokens, that's fine. Call it anything and you still have a pump and dump that might actually go to 10X or 20X or 50X. That's me. You know, I'm different in that regard. I see these opportunities. PayPay highlighted. You could literally create anything and get significant run-ups if you just do the damn thing right. And don't call it a bad word. Call it something else. Come up with something else because they are getting some traction. There is an appetite for these other ones. You just got to have the right thing and the right messaging. And I think the people behind some of these that are spinning up, they would have enough of an audience where they could cause a run-up. And they're just not doing it the right way, in my personal opinion. So my messaging to you, those listening, I'm not telling you what to do with your cash. I'm telling you that all of these Vol coins, they're running for different reasons. In some cases, some people are just rolling the dice. They're just gambling. In some cases, it's because of a alignment to an influencer like Daddy on, you know, Rodney Crypto Journeys, whatever. In some cases, it's aligned to some TV show. In some cases, it's aligned to an anime. And there's an appetite for those. And if all we care about is the pump and dump nature, it could be anything. So let's create something that's not been created before. That's all. And let's do something new because it could go on a run like a Pepe if you do it right. That's all I'm looking at it. I'm looking at create another Pepe where it's something that had not been done, not a cosplay of something that had been done before that failed. To me, that's why I'm so frustrated at things like Bone, because Bone should be way higher in price than what it is right now, but the team doesn't know how to market that damn thing because they never did. They marketed Shiv, and so then Shiv is kind of floating, and you got influencers that are trying to pump it. It doesn't matter because the most it'll do is double. Well, that's fine. I would rather see that we pump Bone because Bone should be higher than what it is, way higher than what it is, and has a greater potential to make some profit. All you got to do is convince 10% of Shiv holders to buy into Bone, and that damn thing is in three figures. FOMO will take the rest of it. We're just not doing it because we're focused on trying to rehash the past of failed projects, and that's what's frustrating to me. All that's missing is a safe moon on Solana at this point. So that's my rant. I'm done ranting. I promise I'm not going to rant about that stuff anymore. I had to get it off my chest of what it was. In closing now, the Ethereum ETFs didn't give us the run that we expected. I did not expect a significant run. I thought it was going to kind of stammer a little bit, and that's what it did. And so now we have to wait. Time needs to pass. There will come a future when both the Bitcoin ETF and Ethereum ETFs are worth significantly more than what they are. To get to that world, I think we need to get past the elections, number one. If we get Donald Trump in office, I think they're going to run. If we don't get Donald Trump in office, I don't think they're going to run significantly, but it really depends on what Kamala does. Apparently, she's going to be speaking at the Bitcoin convention, whatever. And if she shows support for cryptocurrency, that may play in her favor. She may have to coddle. But then people are going to hold her accountable if she gets elected, and if she doesn't do it, she's going to fail. And remember, she'll still have Janet Yellens and the Gary Genslers and all that in her ear, and I don't have confidence she's strong enough of mind to fight back against those dissenters. I think she's going to fall in line with what they did in the past because that's what's expected of her. Even though I argue she's anti-Biden at nature, I don't think she's going to do much different with cryptocurrency because I don't think she understands it. I'm sure she has a bag, but she doesn't know what it means. She doesn't know what's potential. She doesn't know where things could go. Donald Trump, he knows. He had the NFTs. He said himself, I had the NFTs. They were very successful, very big. I could do it again. He just said that. So he is already on board because he already is embedded. Melania was embedded. He knows the potential. He knows he can make major bank doing it. That's why he's opened the doors. That may play in his favor to get him in there. The thing he now has to fight is first woman president, first black woman president, you know, all this other narrative that doesn't have anything to do with your pocket. I'm about your pocket. I'm about the economy. So for me, I'm going after whoever speaks the right things about the economy, not just crypto, but overall. And so far, that's been Donald Trump. Time will tell whether he practices what he preaches or he's just full of it. I don't know yet. I'm watching. Maybe Kamala blows it out the water. I just don't think she has it in her because she hasn't shown any of that to date. Cryptocurrency is going to be waiting to see what happens. I think that's part of the lull that we're seeing. They're waiting to see what's going to happen with this election. They're waiting to see who's going to be the next president because they're waiting for strong regulation. And regardless of what idiot Vitalik says, we do need strong regulation because that's how we get the rich MFers, the rich mother fathers, to invest in this stuff. Without the rich mother fathers, none of this is going to run up. And I really want them in because I think they are a contributing factor to the success of Bone long term, assuming they support Shibarium and all the utilities that should be on Shibarium by this point. So I'm watching. Crypto's watching. You should be watching and waiting. My advice, because some people did ask, well, what do we do? My advice is always the same. The main coins can never steer you wrong. If you're just trying to make some money, they can never steer you wrong. You're always going to guarantee yourself at least a 2x on every single one of those main ones. BNB, Cardano, Avalanche, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ethereum Classic, Polkadot, Chainlink, all these main ones, you can't go wrong with pretty much any of them. You're going to get at least a 2x on each and every one of them. Part of the thing that's holding you back, I know, without even reading your mind, the 2x isn't enough for you. You want more of a climb because you're impatient because you're a gambler. If you're a gambler, great. I'm not a gambler. I take what profits you can get, right? Because every profit is profit. And then you can reinvest that profit into something else, or you can pocket it, or you can do something nice for your family or whatever. But take the profits as you go. Wait for the drops. Buy on the drops. If you focus on the core ones, though, your risk is extremely low. There's an extremely low chance they're going to completely crap out. The worst they might do, like we saw with BNB, where it dropped to like $100 on that major drop. Look at where it is right now. It's damn near, it actually got over $600-$700. So that would have been a 7x if you had bought in back when it was $100. When I told you this thing's going to freaking climb. Ethereum was down. It didn't get to the 900 mark. It got to like $1,000. It at least doubled, if not tripled. My point is the core ones can never steer you wrong. So if you didn't know anything else about cryptocurrency, the core ones are your best start point, especially because things like a Kraken, things like a Coinbase, if you're in the United States, they're happily going to let you trade those because they're, quote, safe. They don't have the same garbage developers behind them, so they're perceived as safe. So for the most part, you could invest in these core ones and make a little bit of money on those, even if you didn't do derivatives trading. You can do straight trades, straight spot trades, make the profit, sell off those. Or you can do derivatives trading, futures trading, whatever. If you want to gamble even more and make a little bit more, you just have to understand your risk is greater. If you do that, just make sure you don't dump every last freaking dollar you have at it. The dollars that you throw at, whatever, should be money you're okay losing. For that reason, it should always be throwaway money. At some point, when you put throwaway money, you're going to make profit and then use the profit to either invest in something else, compound, or put in your savings and then repeat the process. You have to train yourself, though, to not be so impatient to get that $1 million off of whatever, unless you're a gambler sort. And I know it's hard, but that's what my advice is if you were to ask me the question of what to do. Stick with the core, invest simple, don't invest more than you can afford to lose, and take the profits out. When you get even just a 2x, it's still profit. Take the profit, do something smart with it. Don't do something stupid. But the point is you just repeat that cycle and you're patient about that business. It's a churn. It's a very simple churn. Every now and then, you might be able to see something where you can toss $100 at it and it goes a 10, so you get $1,000 off of it. Take your 900 out of it, let the 100 that you initially, you know, had in there, you got your 100 back, you got 800 more, and you can let 100 ride again because it might go 10x again. Instead of sitting on it, unless it was truly throwaway money. If it's money, you just, it's if F money, as Virgil used to say, may rest in peace, sure, you can let it sit there. Maybe it goes from $100 to, you know, $10,000, and you get lucky on that one, and then just make sure you take profits out of it at some point. Sometimes you get into something and you're just so tempted because you want that $1 million. If you're the gambler, you want to roll the dice, I can't tell you what to do with your money. I'm saying for those asking that have asked, the simplest thing you can do, the core coins can never steer you wrong. The core coins are readily available on the exchanges that are accessible to you, be that Robinhood, be that Coinbase, be that Kraken. It's there for you. Anything that they offer you is going to be a core with some exceptions. But for the most part, they're going to be a core coin. And they're safe to trade those, in my opinion, because they don't have garbage devs behind them. You can start there, master what I'm talking about in terms of patient trading, get into a groove, get good with it, learn to take profits, and then kind of go from there. And then when you're more comfortable with it financially, then you can start taking a little bit more risk, right? You can start dumping into some garbage and maybe you do strike it rich. Just don't toss everything you have at those. And that's the temptation you have to fight and avoid. Other than that, everything is a waiting game. Everything's about patience and time. We're past the era of thousands of Bitcoin that you had where the guy spends thousands of Bitcoin for a pizza because he didn't realize it was going to go 60,000 per. We're past that era. The most you can expect on Bitcoin is that it doubles. The likelihood that it doubles is not high right now. It may happen later, but it's still going to take some time to get there. No problem. In the meantime, you can accumulate money on these quicker wins in the short so you can start getting in the groove of how to do patient trading. Or if you're a gambler, you can gamble and be happy with gambling. It's up to you.